Pam?
Mm-hmm.
When will the new copier be ready?
I'm working on it, Kev.
You said it would be ready by today. And it is today.
It'll be ready soon.
Soon could mean anything. Soon could be 3 weeks.
Is that what soon means to you?
Sometimes.
Then come back soon.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into all of the Giants-related news on this delayed episode of NYG Weekly, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow me on Twitter, follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Rate us 5 stars. Tell us we look pretty. We hope you guys keep coming back every single week. Apologies in advance for the audio quality if I sound a little bit more muffled this week. I don't have my normal mic with me. Using my Bose headphones to record this one. So hopefully super producer Andrew can work out as many audio kinks as he can. All right, so it's Thursday. We're recording a little far removed from the Giants-Colts collapse debacle, thankfully, for the sake of draft position, coming up on a Week 17 matchup with the Dallas Cowboys, who have come out and said that they're going to play their starters. Vegas not buying it because they moved the line from Giants minus 3 to Giants minus 6. So they're expecting Jason Garrett to be sitting some key guys, probably second quarter, at most second half. Between that, we got Bowles, we got Daniel Jones going off against Temple, we've got Justin Herbert going back to college, we've got a lot to talk about. Weiss, how are you? Where do you want to start? A lot going on in Giants land, and the fans seem more at each other's throats now than they have all year.
First of all, Merry Christmas.
Merry Happy Christmas. Hanukkah. Yes. Happy holidays to everyone that celebrates. Happy New Year to everyone. Ringing in 2019 with hopefully a top 5 pick secured in the bag. But yeah, happy holidays to everyone. Hope everyone had a nice, relaxing holiday. Maybe got that Odell jersey they were looking for. I had a relaxing holiday. I did. I needed it. I'm looking forward to relaxing even more this coming week.
Yeah, it's been a pretty relaxing week. Been fun. But, I mean, you nailed it with Giants fans, man. It's a toxic environment right now.
Real toxic. I thrive in the toxicity, to be quite honest, because I don't hold back. I throw punches all day, every day, left and right. You know, it's like the Bane quote. I was born in the darkness, molded by it. This is the Giants of the last 5 years. This is the result. Is me.
I think we're seeing a lot of people really getting emotional on Twitter, and yeah, we're seeing a lot of, you know, just my mentions alone. I mean, I look at them, and people are going at it with each other.
Oh yeah.
And I think the one thing we can agree on is losing sucks. And when you start to lose and, you know, things start to happen, man, oh, man, fans are sick of it. I think that's where the ultimate, you know, this stress and this anger is coming from, is the fact that the Giants are losing.
And it's not just the losing, right? You know, every team, I mean, unless you're the Patriots of the last 15 years, every team goes through these spurts of losing with the hope of coming out the other side of the tunnel. There's a bright light, and there's future, and there are answers. You know, Jets fans are not accustomed to that feeling. And honestly, Giants fans are not accustomed to that feeling over the last 5 or 6 years. Because losing is fine if you come out with some answers. And the Giants seem to have pretty much zero answers except for keeping the status quo moving forward. And it's where the frustration comes from, at least when it comes to you and I. You know, the fact that, okay, the fifth losing season in 6 seasons, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to stick with the same overpaid quarterback, and we're going to have our old as shit GM build with his, you know, old mentality, and John Mara is just going to keep circling the wagon, and nothing's going to really change. That's where the frustration comes from.
I mean, I think a lot of it is you know, you talked about it. I mean, it's the hope. Like, what is the future?
Right.
I think there's more uncertainty this year than when there was last year, because last year it was the excitement of, okay, we're getting a new GM, we're getting a new head coach, Ben McAdoo's gone, Jerry Reese is gone, it's a new era. Whereas now it's like, okay, we have this GM, we have this head coach, and there are fans who, and I'm not saying I feel this way, but there are fans who are saying to themselves, okay, what's changed? Because, you know, right, we're still losing, but we're losing the same way that we've lost the last 5 years.
Right. And, you know, like, and there's an entertainment aspect to it. You know, I know we speak in wins and losses and season to season, but listen, sports is a big entertainment business. I think there's no league that does the entertainment aspect of the sport better than the NBA. And if you look at it, people still love the NBA. They come back week in and week out, and it's because even if their teams are bad, you get a top five pick in that draft, you know, you can very likely build around that player. And the drama of the offseason. The NBA offseason and the trade deadline is usually more entertaining than the regular season. Right. And, you know, when it comes to Giants fans over the last 5 or 6 years, yeah, we can look forward to the draft. But really, the only game-changing position that people really, you know, draft and look forward to, it's the quarterback position. And it's why, you know, the Jets and the Browns recently, and even the Cardinals and the Bills, right? They had a lot to look forward to. And even Jaguars fans have a lot to look forward to over the next 6 months, because they've basically come out and said, we're moving on from Blake Bortles. They can look forward to whether or not Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray, and we'll get into Kyler Murray later, is going to end up a Jacksonville Jaguar. For Giants fans, it's, okay, which pass rusher are we going to take? Which offensive lineman are we going to take? And we're going to keep circling the wagon with Eli Manning and maybe go 8-8 and screw ourselves out of good draft position for the 2020 quarterback class, right? To me, it's there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, when you say about the excitement about a draft pick, like, when it comes to, like, we were all excited to see Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Like, that was there was an excitement to see this.
But most of us saw the end game.
Right. Most of us knew that, okay, we have Saquon Barkley, but when it comes to the NFL, what makes this game so unique is because there's no debate about what the number one position is. That is the quarterback position.
Right.
And when you have uncertainty there, all else really doesn't truly matter.
Yep.
And I think that with the Giants right now, that uncertainty and that debate, that is, you know, overtaken everything else that the organization faces right now, whether it's positive or negative.
Yep.
And so because of that, I think you're seeing that. I mean, every game we go into it, throughout the game, you see fans arguing back and forth about, well, something happens and it's whose fault is it and this and that. And then after the game, it's like arguments left and right that I'm seeing in my mentions. And ultimately, I just see a fan base that is, for the most part, worried because in the back of their mind, they fear that, you know, even though I'm putting faith into this, I know that, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty there. And maybe they're sort of comfortable in their atmosphere where they know, okay, we still have Eli, and there's still that possibility of a magical run, and that sort of gives them comfort. So they go, you know, to the defense of him, and they go to say, well, we just need to get a certain part of our offense fixed for him to exceed. You have another part of the fan base that's angry. They want answers. This is, you know, like you said, the fifth time in the last 6 years where they're missing the playoffs. We're talking four of the last 5 years where you've lost at least, you know, three of the last 4 years where you've lost at least 10 games. And all that's piling up, and you see anger. So it is a very toxic environment for Giant fans, and you nailed it. I mean, with the uncertainty at the quarterback position for the Giants, people are worried, man. People are sort of confused, and obviously the news of Justin Herbert going back to school didn't help Giant fans.
Nope.
And you already have fans starting to say, well, next year is washed because we don't have a quarterback, or because they don't have faith in Eli Manning, and they don't have faith in a free agent quarterback or in any of the quarterbacks in the 19 draft that can come in. So they're already looking forward to 2020. So we can pretty much expect this debate to go well into next season and up until
– and maybe longer than that.
Yeah, whenever the Giants – because, see, the issue is not just the Eli Manning. Like, that's just not – it's finding the successor.
Right.
So, you have people who say, no, Eli Manning can still play. And let's say, well, the Giants say, no, we're moving on from Eli. And let's say they bring in a rookie, or let's say they bring in, you know, a free agent quarterback, a Nick Foles, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, et cetera. And the results are the same. You're still going to get that toxic result where fans are going to be like, see, I told you Eli Manning was not the problem. See, I told you, you know, the issue is not quarterback. And so ultimately, it's not just moving on from Eli that's going to end this discussion. It's going to be, okay, can the who is next in line, and who is someone that we can all agree on is the successor, is the franchise guy, is the guy that can lead us to a Super Bowl. So this whole, you know, this whole negative atmosphere,
yeah, you know, and listen,
it's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere, and the problem is, a lot of, I mean, regardless of who the successor is, there's going to be people, there's going to be doubters. You know, no one's ever going to agree on the consensus. You know, one of the bigger problems, I think, with the Saquon pick, outside of, you know, the GM not believing in positional value, is the fact that he's very good. And we know, yeah, we knew that he was going to be good. And right, taking someone of his caliber and pairing him with Odell Beckham and Evan Engram, and you already have one of the worst defenses in the league, right? So there's only one way to go but up next year. This team has played itself into being mediocre. And when we talk about the fact that the Giants have become content with mediocrity, you know, I'm sure, you know, deep down it pisses John Mara off that his team loses, regardless of whether or not he realizes it's his fault. But the fact of the matter is, even with Eli Manning, this team is going to be so perfectly mediocre next year because of the talent and the weapons that they already have. And this team could be amazing if they had the right quarterback. They are so perfectly mediocre that they're going to play themselves right out of a top five pick next year for what's supposed to be a good quarterback class. I mean, we talk about Tua and we talk about Fromm. Now Herbert's going to be there. But you look at I'm beating the dead horse again. You look at last year's draft class, and we've heard this from a couple of different beat writers, is that there was no number one quarterback consensus between the Giants upper management. Well, you know what? Just because you guys can't fucking agree on a quarterback doesn't mean that none of them are worthy of the pick. And someone's just got to sack up and make the decision, because you look at how they're playing so far this year. Baker was my favorite quarterback in the draft. He's playing like it. Josh Rosen, he's made some plays, but his roster is absolute dog shit. Once they get him some help, I'm confident.
They're about to fire the coach. I mean, it's a horrible environment.
It's a terrible environment. But Sam Darnold's making plays while the Jets are still losing, so they're going to have a top pick and the cap space to build around a rookie quarterback who's shown so many really, really nice flashes. Lamar Jackson's leading his team, hopefully, into the playoffs. Josh Allen has exceeded every single person's expectations, including my own. So you missed out on a top class. This class stinks, and you've already come out and said you're not going to, you know, Eli's the guy next year. And then,
well, I don't know about that yet. I think there's a lot of assumption. I think we'll see, but I'm not ready to.
I am.
This team has done
such a poor job of masking what it plans to do in the upcoming season that them coming out and saying that Eli's got years left and we believe in Eli, that is not them throwing out a smokescreen. That is them fully committing to him for 2019. They will not take a quarterback in this draft unless, for whatever reason, they fall in love with Dwayne Haskins and he isn't taken by the Jaguars, who are ahead of them. And if you look at the draft ammo that the Giants have, especially this year, there's hardly any of it. They don't have a third-round pick because they used the pick for Sam Beal in the supplemental draft. And then they've got, two fourth-rounders, one is a compensatory, two fifth-rounders. They really don't have much. So even if you do plan on trading up in the 2020 draft for someone like Jake Fromm, I mean, I just you're mortgaging your future, and they may not even have the assets to do so. So it's going to be a long journey. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very tough situation the Giants are in. And this is why we say it's very hard to find a franchise quarterback, and there's never a right way to move on from your current franchise quarterback. No separation is easy. I mean, everyone would love to go out like John Elway or Peyton Manning, but even Peyton's departure from Indianapolis wasn't exactly, you know, a smooth transition. But again, I mean, like you said, if you're sitting there looking for that perfect quarterback prospects, those rarely come along. Like, what was the last real perfect quarterback prospect? Andrew Luck,
yeah.
And when can you expect something like that to come again? I mean, just looking at, You know, Tua's far from perfect. Jake Fromm is far from perfect. Justin Herbert's far from perfect. I mean, are you talking about Trevor Lawrence in 2021? So there's a – I mean, it's a tough situation to be in. And I think the Giants right now are really faced with the dilemma of, okay, we have Eli Manning, but what's out there that's better? Now, one could argue that there are better options, cheaper options out there, and guys that could probably help you better than what Eli Manning is doing now.
Exactly. One of the biggest problems with him is the fact that his cap hit is so high.
Right. And the fact that what he needs, the Giants just don't have. You talked about their draft capital. Yes, they have 9 picks, but I believe five of those picks are after round 4.
Yeah.
So we're talking about finding a solution at right guard, at right tackle, and those have to be the guys that can come in and help where Eli Manning can be able to be effective. And so these are all the things that the Giants face right now. We talk about a roster. I mean, you saw Sunday, their defense. I mean, when you're playing an elite quarterback, when you're playing a top-notch quarterback in the NFL, that's what he's going to do to the Giants' defense. And that's why I wasn't ever buying the whole playoff scenario and this and that, because you see what happens to the Giants' defense when they're not facing Mark Sanchez, when they're not facing Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
when
they get blown apart.
They get torn apart, and Andrew Luck did exactly that. I thought the Colts really came out and were really sleeping on the Giants' offense.
Me too.
Especially their passing attack, and we saw a big play from Sterling Shepard, and we saw Evan Ingram make plays. A lot of it was coverage breakdowns. Those guys were open down the field.
Yep.
And kudos to Eli. I thought he played really well in that game.
He had a good game.
Up until that final interception. But,
yeah.
You know, ultimately when the Colts, they got it together, they went into halftime, they made an adjustment, they came out.
I mean, there was never any doubt that the Colts were winning that game.
They started to score at will, move the ball at will, run the ball, throw the ball. And they even ended up finishing the game with more total yards than the Giants. So that just shows how much they had their way in the second half with the Giants. So, you know, my point being is that this roster is so depleted right now. And a lot of that uncertainty and a lot of that sort of anger that we talked about earlier from fans, I think a lot of it's with the fact that does this front office realize how talent depleted this roster is? Like, are they really embracing the rebuild, or are they gonna take the money saved from Damon Harrison and just fill it with another high priced free agent? Like, I believe that the uncertainty is not just with the quarterback position, but it's with, okay, are they embracing the rebuild? Like, is this a rebuild? Are they committed to drafting well? Are they committed to building through the draft? Or is this a continuation of, okay, we're stuck with Eli for another year, so we got to go out there and do as much as we can to, you know, put together as good of a roster for 2019 alone as we can. And to me, that's a question mark. Like, what is the mindset of Dave Gettleman right now? He hasn't spoken since July, and we just don't know. We don't know what's the plan here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I mean,
just think about this for a second. Just think about this for a second. Let's just play this out in our head right now, okay? Back in May, June, when Dave Gettleman said he felt like, or around draft time, or right after the Saquon pick, he said, we feel like Eli has years left, right? Let's call it June, right? That's June. Season comes around. By October, he's completely just agreed that this roster is not a win-now roster, and he's sort of, you know, broke it off, right?
Well, that's the thing. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Right.
They think they can win with Eli Manning, but, you know, the season's a wash, so we're going to trade Damon Harrison. We're going to trade Eli Apple, who's still 24 years old.
So he says that in October. In November, he takes a trip to Utah and watches a quarterback firsthand. Now, this is him saying Eli Manning has years left. Now, let me tell you this. Let's say the offseason comes around and the Giants release Eli Manning. Now, a lot of people will say, yes, that's the right move. But I'm looking at it, and I'm a proponent of getting rid of Eli Manning. But I'm looking at Dave Gettleman like, wait, you told me Eli Manning has years left.
How can you skip on a quarterback at 2 after you told me he had years left.
Right. So how can I trust you that you know what you're doing when you told me he had years left. Well, then the apologists and the people that circle the wagons for the organizations, you know what they'll say? Well, what do you expect them to say? Well, how about you say this? How about you simply say, you not tell me that he has years left, right, and look at me and talk to me like a fool. Just say, look, we understand Eli's age.
We're evaluating the situation.
Not even evaluating. This is a year by year league. There's always turnover every year. You saw it this year with our roster. You know, we're taking it year to year. We think Eli gives us the best chance to win in 2019.
And that's the most frustrating thing when people talk about, you know, oh, like, why don't you give Dave Gettleman time? Why don't you trust him to build the roster? I mean, the man flat out said before the season that he thought that they could compete right now, that this was a win-now team just missing just a few pieces. He was proved wrong less than half a year later. Less than half a season later, this man was how wrong he was, it's mind-boggling. I literally can't even find the words to describe it.
And he wasn't just like, it wasn't just trading, you know, Eli Apple and Damon Harrison. Everybody was for sale.
Yeah.
Like, this was not just, you know, those two players we think we have their replacements on the roster, so we're trading them. No, it was, you know, Landon Collins is for sale. Janoris Jenkins is for sale. You know, everybody is for sale outside for a couple of players. So again, you know, this is a guy, Dave Gettleman, that told us in the offseason that Eli Manning has years left in this league. His arm is still alive. He hasn't lost anything. This is a guy that told us he doesn't believe in rebuilds, that he thinks this is a roster that can compete now. These are words that he said. And then 6 weeks, 7 weeks into the season, you know, you're trading away players on defense. You have a fire sale, as what it's called. Everyone is for sale. Everyone is available via trade for the right price. Mm-hmm. You know, and then in the offseason comes around, you move on from Eli. It's like, wait, you just told me he has years left. So these are the things that I'm talking about. I think that the uncertainty, the sort of, you know, confusion that fans have toward the front office and what exactly the plan is, I think that's a lot of anger is being built up from the fan base. And sort of the plan, as you want to call it, you're seeing the results on the field as the Giants, you know, are going to be 6-10 again, and, you know, their struggles seem to continue like years past.
I mean, we're going to end up, and I saw this comparison on Twitter today in a different, I'll need to emphasize, in a different context, but I'm reminded of it right now because of a point that I brought up on last week's podcast about the timeline for the Giants and how, at best, assuming they eventually move on from Eli, I don't know when that is, but because of their fuck-up last draft, the next available opportunity to compete with their current offensive core being Odell and Saquon is in the fourth year of Saquon's rookie deal and when Odell is 29. I don't think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because I'm thinking of this on the spot, has there been a larger waste of an athlete superstar's career than Odell? Because the only person I could think of is Megatron wasting away in Detroit. That's all. That's the only guy I can think of. And even those teams were worse than the Giants. But in terms of sustained just mediocrity, losing seasons, and no future plan in sight, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the clock is ticking. You know,
it's been ticking.
Beckham is getting up there in age. We know running backs.
Not right now. He will be.
He will be, yeah. And what I'm saying, he ain't getting younger, you know. Mm-hmm. And with Saquon Barkley, listen, you know, he's a running back. And, you know, he's a guy that's going to see the ball a lot, you know, next year and years to come. And who knows, you know, 27, 28, 29, 30. You know, once running back gets up there, I mean, is he going to be the same type of player? So, and I know he's still a rookie, but I'm just saying, before you know it, he's 26, 27 years old, and, you know, he's going to be lined up for a big payday. So this Barkley and Beckham window, to me, it's a four or five-year window. You got to maximize what they bring to the table in those 4 to 5 years. So by 2022, 2023.
The benefit of having a rookie quarterback on that rookie contract.
So what, like, you know, you have to – you can't waste – to me, you can't waste another year trying to run this back. I mean,
they're going to try.
You can't. I understand. You know, you have to look in and say, well, are there any better options out there? You know, but you have to try something else. So, ultimately, it's going to be an interesting offseason. Eli's comments yesterday, I believe, were interesting. He was very noncommittal about, you know, whether or not he'll be a Giant next year. There wasn't the cliche, well, I want to be a New York Giant. I hope I'm here next year. There was just, I don't know. And to me, if Eli thinks he doesn't know, right, I don't know either. I mean, would he retire? I don't know.
No.
But the way I look at that answer was, you know, that was businessman Eli talking. And I say that because be noncommittal. If you commit to them, you're making it seem like you need them.
Yeah.
Be noncommittal. So they know, hey, essentially, to me, it's like, I'm not taking a pay cut. You know? That's what it was. That was Eli basically telling the Giants, look, he also said, I feel like I can still play. I feel like I can make all the throws. When asked about, you know, whether or not I'll be a Giant, I don't know. And him being noncommittal, maybe in his mind, that'll be the Giants' card to become more committed to him, possibly with the contract extension to lower his salary cap for next year. I don't know. But to me, it was an interesting slew of comments from Eli, and I think it was more the businessman talking. And I think it was sort of a hint that, hey, look, you know, I'm not taking a pay cut. And quite frankly,
I was about to say, yeah, because if he's saying he's not committal, I mean, he's been pretty open about playing or wanting to play and that he's not done. And the fact that he says he doesn't know if he's going to be a Giant, to me, that's a strictly financial way to answer that question.
And think about it. He said it entering the final year of his deal.
Yep.
You know, we all know the quarterback situation in the draft. We know rarely do people find franchise quarterbacks in free agency. I'm pretty sure Eli Manning knows that too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know? So to me that was the business part of Eli talking, and he was basically saying I'm not going to commit myself to the Giants. Yes, I'm under contract for another year, but you know, I'm not going to be Mr. Nice Guy and take a pay cut. And I think that's essentially where he was going with those comments and why he basically said, I don't know. So it's an interesting offseason coming up for the Giants.
And interesting is an understatement.
It is. There's going to be a lot of talk about what they do and specifically the quarterback position, but we can't overlook the defense. We can't overlook other areas, the offensive line where they need to improve. And I know all the attention is going to be on the quarterback, but this is a very important offseason for the Giants.
Yep. Now, we'll get into the Cowboys game more in depth in a little bit, but do you think that they win on Sunday?
I don't. Because
really, I think they 100% win.
Really, I mean, it seems like the Cowboys are playing their starters for the most part.
And you know what? Vegas disagrees because they moved the Giants from a 3-point favorite to a 6-point favorite. I think that's entirely coach speak. I think they'll come out and play them for a quarter, a half at most, and I think they're going to rest them. And the Giants are going to be playing their starters who are playing probably for incentives and, you know, to pad their stats. And I don't think that any of them particularly give a shit about draft position. And they're going to play themselves out of a top five pick. 100% it would be the most Giants way to end the season.
Well, you say top five pick, they could play themselves out of a top 10 pick.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think top five is a long shot right now, even if they lose.
Where are they sitting at right now? Six?
They're sitting at 8. I know NFL.com says 6, and I know a lot of people are confused
because they didn't include strength of schedule. I think somewhere.
Yeah, they're not including that final game. As they're saying, as if the draft started tonight, whatever the Giants are picking. But if you factor in who they play on Sunday and their schedule, how it ranks up with the other teams that have the same record as the Giants, how it would fall, then the Giants would fall to 8. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe it's me wishful thinking and hoping that they lose so they can increase their. But I think that the Cowboys, they probably want to go into the playoffs, you know, with sort of like a positive mindset, because they're most likely going to play Seattle, and Seattle's going to be entering the playoffs most likely on a 2-game winning streak, with one of those wins coming against the Kansas City Chiefs. And so the Cowboys, they don't want to go into the playoffs losing 2 of their last 3. Mm-hmm. So maybe they want to fix some things on offense. And what better way to get those things fixed than against the Giants? maybe we won't see Zeke the entire game. Maybe we won't see guys like Tyron Smith, who was dealing with injuries the entire game, the entire season.
Yep.
But I think for the most part, you'll see a lot of these starters play well into the second half. But I think the Cowboys win a close one. I think it'll be low scoring, but I think the Cowboys, they get a victory Sunday in MetLife.
Interesting. All right, so we're on the opposite side of that. So where do you think the Giants end up picking?
Well, they're at 8 now. And if you look at, you know, who's ahead of them and who's – I believe right now they are actually ahead of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I think that's the one team everyone's looking at because they are in desperate need of a quarterback as well. So if you give me about 10 seconds, I'm going to go off script and pull up the NFL draft order. Not the NFL.com one. That one is just confusing everybody. But so right now they're picking 8th. They're in a toss-up with the Buffalo Bills and a coin toss with the Bills for that 7th and 8th spot. Tampa Bay. So we got Detroit, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, the Giants, and Jacksonville all at 5 and 10. Got the Giants ahead of Jacksonville. Buffalo plays the Dolphins on Sunday. Tampa Bay plays, I think, Atlanta or Carolina on Sunday. I think they pick between 6 and 7 and 8 because I think they lose. And I think the Bills, you know, who do the Bills play on Sunday? The Bills play home against the Dolphins. I could easily see the Bills winning that game. And so that would knock them out if the Giants lose. And then the Buccaneers, you know, the Bucs play. They play the Falcons at home, which would be an interesting game. Mm-hmm. I think they probably lose that one. So I'm going to say between, you know what, I'll say they pick 7th.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say 7th.
I think they win, so I think they pick 10. 10 or 11? Well, is that the situation if they win?
Well, let's say if they win, then they're 6-10. Jacksonville plays Houston at Houston. They're going to lose that game, right?
Absolutely.
So they're going to fall to 9. Then you're talking about Atlanta, Carolina, Denver, and Cincinnati, who could all finish 6-10. I mean, you're talking potentially between 10 or 11 that they could fall to, with, you know, Atlanta topping or, you know, Carolina going over them, Jacksonville going over them. So, yeah, we're talking about a team that could be picking outside the top 10 if they win on Sunday. But I think they lose.
All right. I guess we'll have to see. I really think they win. I can't think of a worse way for this season to end than on a victory that puts them out of the top 10. Murphy's Law in full effect with the Giants.
Well, they got very lucky last year with that number 2 pick because...
Yeah, because those don't come around often.
Well, because remember, they were 2, and Cleveland had locked up the 1 because they were 0-16. But I believe that day the Colts beat the Texans that day. So with the Colts beating the Texans, you know, the Colts stayed at 3 and the Giants got to 2.
Yeah.
And the whole time the talk then was, we got to make sure the Colts don't jump us because then the Colts will, you know, trade that pick to a team that needs a quarterback and yada, 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 and the Giants will be, you know, probably without a quarterback. Well, you know, we know how that played out.
Right.
But they got lucky last year. We'll see this year. I mean, they could potentially move up. You know, they could move all the way to, we're talking 5 or 4 if things play out a certain way.
Yeah.
But I think they're around 6, 7.
All right. Well, I'm going under the assumption I think they're going to win. I think it'll be 10 or 11. Let's briefly touch on some of the quarterback prospects, even though we're almost certain the Giants won't take them. Herbert back to school in what I think is one of the most remarkably dumb draft decisions of the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy
up there with Bryce Love.
I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy that could be the number one pick in the draft.
We're talking about one of the weakest quarterback drafts in the last, I don't know how many years. And yeah, a guy who was pretty much the consensus to go number one, fits the profile, big white guy, fairly mobile, can throw the ball well. I mean, if you're telling me that John Elway or Tom Coughlin isn't taking a risk on this guy, top 5, top 10, you're crazy. He's going
or
back.
Dave Gettleman.
Or Dave Gettleman, who literally went to scout him in person, which says a lot for Gettleman. I think he was it, at that point, was he done with his cancer treatments, or was he still in treatment?
Yeah, I think he's been good to travel. I don't know about where he is on his treatments, but
if it was either during or at the, you know, around the time he was finished, you know, it's a man who's dedicated and is looking very, very closely at a prospect if he's traveling and doing all that while he's, you know, basically beating cancer. But to me, you're a quarterback prospect who is basically guaranteed to go top five, top 10. And instead, you're going to go back. You're going to risk injury. You're going to go – I think his brother is going to be a tight end freshman. So he's going to play a total of 15 snaps all year, meaningless. You're going to go play in the Pac-12, which is notoriously – I don't want to say notoriously weak, but definitely weaker than a conference like the SEC, hell, even the Big 12. And then – so you're not going to raise your level of play that much. And then you're going to risk injury. To me, this decision is so stupid. And we're looking forward to 2020. We don't even know if he's going to be the top prospect unless he lights the world on fire. I fully expect Jake Fromm or Tua to go ahead of him. So he's basically risking not being the number one quarterback off the board, risking injury, and risking leaving tens of millions of dollars on the table, a draft move that I do not understand.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. But you know who else is pissed about this outside of the teams that need a quarterback?
Who?
Arizona and San Francisco, mm-hmm. and the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Because
now that's less people that are going to want to trade up.
I mean, essentially now there's only one – I mean, now things will change, obviously, and we'll see what happens. But right now there's only one real quarterback that could go in the top five, and that's Dwayne Haskins, right?
Yep.
Well, all it takes is one team to place a call. So if you're, you know, let's say it's the Jets. Maybe a team trades up to three. You know, and say, all we got to do is get to three. You know, there's only one quarterback now who a team could trade up for, whereas before you had, you know, Herbert and Haskins and could have potentially three, four, five, six teams looking to trade up to get inside that top five to get him. Now there's only one. And so if you're Arizona, who, I mean, you want to talk about a team that needs
as much talent, draft ammo as possible.
Yeah, Arizona is that. And then San Francisco, I'll put in that class as well. Mm-hmm. And the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Because they traded up last year. So the Jets would love to get some more draft capital back for that number three pick. You're angry about that. And then obviously the Giants, Jacksonville, Denver, you know, possibly Tampa Bay, possibly Oakland, looking at that situation and like, damn it, you know, we got to wait 2020. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a move that I really don't get. I mean, this is a guy, I mean, you talked about it. I mean, he potentially could have been a number two, the top five pick.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, $25, $30 million you're leaving on the table.
Right.
To go back for your senior year. So really doesn't make sense to me. But listen, I'm not going to, you know, I wouldn't have done it. But listen, that's what Herbert wanted to do. Whatever. But if you're Dwayne Haskins, you're loving this.
You love
this. Because your draft stock just, if you're Daniel Jones from Duke, who just had a good bowl game. I watched a little bit of that. You're loving it.
Yep.
Will Greer's loving this.
Kyler Murray.
That's the interesting one in this is Kyler Murray.
And I really want to talk about Kyler Murray.
I want to talk about him too. I put this out earlier. This to me is one of the more interesting quarterback this is one of the more interesting NFL prospects we've seen come around in a long time.
Very long time.
Here's why. When you watch Kyler Murray, right, and you just watch his throws, those are NFL caliber throws that he can make.
Oh my God. Beautiful.
Right?
Beautiful.
And then you say, well, where does he play? Oklahoma just won the Heisman Trophy. Well, so did Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
Adds more intrigue, and I'm not sitting here saying he's going to be Baker Mayfield, this and that. Then you add on the fact that, you know, the whole baseball part of it, and it's like, that's going to be a whole nother debate, whether or not it's smart to leave, you know, the whole guaranteed contract. But I want to say one thing about the MLB draft is, you know, yes, he got drafted by the A's, yes, he got that, you know, contract bonus and whatever, but, you know, it's very hard to make the big leagues.
Okay, so... And I'm going to interrupt right now because it's like, we know each other pretty well at this point, and it's like you're in my head. Before we hopped on the show, I was thinking about it, and I was very curious because, you know, months ago, I was saying, you know, why would he be so stupid to, you know, leave baseball where he was a number 9 overall pick? He's got the $4 million. He doesn't have to risk his, you know, bodily harm like you do in football. And I was thinking, you know, well, there's a lot of MLB draft picks and, you know, the rosters are only so big. And I know for a fact that a lot of these guys burn out or don't make a major league roster. I was actually surprised at the high percentage of, I'll say, it was first round MLB draft picks that end up making a roster. Now, the counter to that is, of course, how long he's going to be buried in the minors before he cracks the pros. And then on top of that, and this is why one of the reasons I actually hate the MLB, and if you haven't picked up on it by now, I am very pro player getting their money when they can get it, which is why I don't understand Justin Herbert's decision. But you can enter the MLB draft, and I fully expect, people are going to think I'm crazy, I fully expect that if he enters the draft, he's going to be a top 15 pick because someone is going to be intrigued enough to bite on him that early. Because if he enters the draft, there's no way he enters that draft unless he's fully committed to playing football and moving forward. I think he goes top 15 and he gets that guaranteed money right up front. And the problem with the MLB is that even if you are a young star player, unless you come into the league when you're 18, 19 and play right away, you're waiting a long time for that big payday. Right.
Yeah,
so you have the longevity when you play baseball. You're risking far less injury, but the monetary risk, I'd say, is far greater if you were to just go play baseball than if you were to suck it up and play football and excel at that for 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, and especially playing quarterback where we're seeing the contracts rot. I mean,
yeah,
just think about it. But in the next 5 years, could you see, you know, a quarterback get a $175 million contract? Like,
yeah,
possibly, right? Like, that could happen. The way it's, I mean, who just got, what is Andrew Luck? Is that what, 140? He got a contract.
He's up there.
Like, what?
What contrary to the argument of baseball, right? Even if you flame out as a starting quarterback or a first overall draft pick, you know how many guys have traveled the league and just piled up the paydays and the checks from just being mediocre to bad backups? I mean, you can get money as a backup quarterback in this league. You might be traveling a lot, you might be on a bunch of different rosters, but if you're not that good, you'll still get paid.
Yeah. So Kyler Murray is an interesting cat. Now, talking about the football field. Now,
I love him.
Height, you know, I think height is very overrated, and I think we're starting to see that
me
height.
Me too, but I think he's a
really
special
matter.
Breed of short, which is what confuses me. Because the argument was made last year with Baker Mayfield, I didn't buy into it. But Baker was about 6 foot. I don't know how much he weighed. Kyler Murray is 5'9", 5'10", 200 pounds. That's light.
Wikipedia has him at 5'11", 190, 195. That is really light.
Generous on the height front. But we'll have to see during the combine.
Right, and then with the height, I'm not really worried about. I don't care if he's 5'10", 5'11".
Agree. For me, it's more the weight.
The weight, 195. I mean,
you can always put on 10 pounds of muscle in an offseason.
You can, but I mean, by comparison, Russell Wilson is, you know, I think two, yada, yada, yada. He's 215. So we're talking essentially.
But he's also got but he is like a legit 6 foot. I'm not buying Kyler Murray's 5'11".
You're not buying the 5'11 thing.
I think he's shorter.
Let's call him 5'10". Okay.
If he's 5'10", basically 200, I'd buy that. 2 inches, 20 pounds. I'd buy that.
Mayfield's also 215.
Yeah.
You know, and they got him at 6'1". I don't think Baker Mayfield's 6'1".
No, he's probably 6 foot.
And then, you know, Drew Brees, they got him at 6 foot, and he weighs, you know, 209.
Right.
So we're talking Kyler Murray adding on at the minimum 10 pounds. And maybe even that's not enough, because if he gets to 205, you know, there's still another 5 to 10 pounds he would need to gain. But he's an interesting prospect to me because, you know, there's pros, there's cons. Like, this to me, this is the ultimate high risk, high reward. I can't think of more of a high risk, another prospect that personifies the high risk, high reward more than Kyler Murray.
And there's guys every year, and I spoke about it before last draft, in regards to Baker Mayfield, who, you know, listen, they just happen to be both Oklahoma guys. But there's guys every year that people are just going to look for reasons not to draft them or to knock down their draft stock. But there are just simply guys you can't overthink. And you just watch the film and you are wowed, absolutely floored by some of the things that they are capable of doing on the football field. Kyler Murray is the prime example of that, both with his arm and with his leg.
He is a very interesting prospect. And I hope he does declare for the NFL draft.
I think he 100% will.
I think so too. And a lot of people say, well, how can you draft somebody that doesn't know if he wants to play football? That's not the issue here. The issue with Kyler Murray is he doesn't know if he wants to give up football.
Right.
That's how much he loves it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that got a $5 million bonus from the A's.
Right.
But he's like, wait a second. You know, I might love football more. You know, so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he does. I'm very intrigued by it. I can't wait to watch him on Saturday versus Alabama. It's going to be interesting, man. I think, you know, we talk about this quarterback class being, you know, boring and, you know, only really, really one guy that's worth taking in the top 10. Well, Kyler Murray could shake up this whole thing.
I think he declares. I think 100% he goes top 15 if he declares.
Wow.
100%.
Top 15 to who? Like, do you think Miami takes him?
Miami. But here's the problem, right? I think that what we'll see is that bias from the old guard of, oh, well, he's not tall, he's not big, you know, I don't really know, right? You know, someone like John Dorsey, he's very analytical, you know, he's not afraid to take risks, which is why Baker to the Browns makes a lot of sense, right? There's not a world. There is not a single timeline that I see Dave Gettleman taking a risk on Kyler Murray. There's not a single timeline where I see someone like John Elway taking a risk on Kyler Murray. They're too enamored with the prototypical quarterback build, which is why otherwise I would say top 10. I think that someone will bite on him top 15, definitely first round. Listen, he hasn't even declared yet. I'll put my stamp on it. Top 15.
Well, I mean, there's already reports out there that say that if he does declare, I mean, he's going in the first round.
Oh, absolutely.
At worst, top of the second. So I'm interested, man. This is an interesting guy to me. I can't wait. I'm not wasting time on him right now in terms of like watching his more in-depth of his games and all that. But if he does declare, it's going to be fun. It's going
to
be fun.
And that's going to be the problem with me. I'm going to want to watch so much of Kyler Murray only to just be let down knowing full well the Giants would never take a risk on a guy like that. How depressing is that? Is that we already know that there are players in the draft that Dave Gettleman wouldn't even think twice. He was, nope, 5'9". No, thank you.
Yeah, that's
the old school thinking's got to fucking go. I'm sick of it.
Do you think it'll change with the success that we're seeing, not just with Russell Wilson, but with Baker Mayfield now?
You would hope. I mean, around the NFL, absolutely. As new GMs come in and these new exciting coaches come in and they believe more in the analytics and they believe more in being successful utilizing different, you know, ways.
It's not even just the analytics of it. It's the
I just use that as a way to generalize the newer school thinking in the NFL. It's not just analytics, but it's guys willing to get more creative and find success in ways that they haven't in the past.
Right. I think for the most part, the NFL has become like a glorified Big 12, like we saw this year with the scoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that influences teams like, hey, you know, we could find success with this guy. So I'm very intrigued. I know I've said that like 5 or 6 times so far in the last 5 minutes.
Yep.
I'm very intrigued with Kyler Murray. So we'll see what happens. I hope he declares. Because I think for him, being a successful NFL quarterback outweighs the MLB.
Me too. I would agree with that. Should we get into some questions?
Yes, we should.
All right. Let me pull up the tweet. Of course, I can't find it. Let's see. I think this is it. Wow, we got a lot of questions. First question from Jake. What draft prospect intrigues you the most? Well, we just spent about 10 minutes talking about Kyler Murray. Outside of him, I mean, I am absolutely in love with Josh Allen. He is one of the top reasons that Kentucky defense was so dominant this year. I think he is an elite pass rusher at the NFL level. I would absolutely love if the Giants wound up with him, if he even lasts to where they're picking. I think he is probably going to go top five. And if the Giants win over the weekend, I would say there's almost a 0% chance he lasts to them. But for me, I am absolutely in love with Josh Allen.
For me, it's LSU's Devin White.
Okay.
Now, has he declared yet? I mean, it seems as though a lot of players that we think that are going to declare haven't declared yet. But that's a guy to me who I think he could potentially be. I'll say this. If he declares, he might go higher than what people expect.
Yeah.
Like, this could be a top three pick.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, my God. Boy. All right. This one's from Jack. My dad thinks Eli has played well enough to earn an extension, and we don't need to draft a quarterback. But he's still a couple years away from nursing home eligibility to have a professional look after him. Something is clearly not right with my dad. What do I do?
Well, man, I read that question and I laughed. I read it right before it got here.
Oh boy, you guys never a dull moment in the comments section. From Jay, do you think Pat Shurmur is biding his time with Eli until he can draft his son out of Vanderbilt? Isn't Kyle Shurmur draft eligible this year?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, hey, if Lolette is not working out and Giants brass wants to take a third or, I guess, a fourth round pick flyer on him, why the fuck not?
Yeah. I think it'll be stupid to draft another, you know, quarterback in the third or fourth or fifth round. I just think that'd be dumb.
From Nick, actual chances of getting Haskins without trading up. I would say 0.009%. Unless we magically find a Laramie Tunsil video of him and release it on draft night.
I mean, let's say the Giants are picking fifth or sixth. Let's say they're picking fifth.
Yep.
You got four teams ahead of them you got four teams ahead of them that are comfortable with their quarterback. Only one that probably won't be, that probably could not be.
Jets.
And that's Oakland, right? No, I'm saying let's say they pick fifth, right?
Okay.
Let's say they pick fifth, and then the top four are Arizona, San Francisco, the Jets, Oakland. We're talking only one of those teams that could maybe not be, you know, that could move on from their quarterback. The other three are set, right? So that means they'll be on the phones with Jacksonville. They'll be on the phones with Denver. They'll be on the phones with Tampa Bay or Miami or whoever, or Washington, to look to move up. So – again, I don't think, you know, it's early, but I wouldn't bank on Dwayne Haskins being a Giant, even if he's there at six or five or seven or eight.
Yeah, no, I'd say zero chance. Ooh, let's see. Most pressing need is from Richard. Most pressing need in the draft, excluding quarterback. I mean, to me, it's pass rusher.
Yeah, I'll say this: pass rusher, cornerback, linebacker.
Yeah, which shows just how bad the Giants' defense is, because you didn't even mention free safety.
I mean, it's crazy because I made a comment. I said I think the Giants will probably need 7 to 8 new starters on defense.
Yeah,
and everyone was like, "No, they don't."
Yes, they do.
And I'm like, "Are you watching this? Like, they're gonna need two new star. Like, look, okay, the defensive line, they're gonna need two edge rushers, right?" Linebackers are going to need at least one, maybe two linebackers there. Cornerback, they're going to need three. A slot, one opposite of Janoris Jenkins. And then if they move on from Janoris Jenkins, there's another one there. And they're going to need a free safety.
Yep.
We're talking 6-7 new starters on defense. Okay, fine. Not starters, but contributors, guys that will play snaps, because your starters don't play every snap.
Right. This one from Jets Nation Daily. Don't know why he's asking a question about the Giants. Do you think Will Grier has the potential to develop into a QB1? I like Will Grier a lot. I need to watch more tape on him, honestly, but I think one of his bigger issues is the fact that he does end up throwing a lot of 50-50 balls, which is just not going to fly in the NFL.
Will Grier, I'm not as high.
Another guy I feel like people are overthinking, but I got to watch some more.
Will Grier doesn't wow me. He's not a guy that I watch and I'm like, you know what? He's just like, Will Grier is like, meh. He's like, I don't know. I don't know about Will Grier. He's not, like, if I put out an early ranking of quarterbacks, and that was at the time where it sort of seemed like Herbert was going to declare. Mm-hmm. And it was Herbert, Haskins, Daniel Jones, and I think Will Grier was fourth.
Yeah, I saw that list.
Yeah, and people were like, how can you put Will Grier fourth? And Will Grier doesn't really, he doesn't really, like, you know, I don't know. It's not, it's I got to watch more, but I'm not completely, like, in awe of Will Grier.
Fair enough. I mean, this guy's display name is Sugandese, which I can respect immensely. But his question was, sign Nick Foles, draft an edge rusher, get a right tackle in free agency or with a trade. Thoughts? I like it.
Yeah. Bridge quarterback, get an edge rusher in the draft. And what was the third one? Sign a corner?
Right tackle in free agency or with a trade.
Right tackle free agency. Okay. But I'll say this. I mean, there's a lot of talk about 3, 4, 5 edge rushers going in the top 10, top 15.
Yeah.
If you're banking on all five of those turning out to be Pro Bowl caliber edge rushers, then, you know, you're going to lose your money.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of names out there right now, and I think a lot of them could go, but not every single one of them is going to turn out to be great.
Agree. Let's see. From Logan. This is an over-under game.
Mm-hmm.
Over-under. There's a few of them. Over-under. 6 wins for the Giants next season. I say over.
Ooh.
I mean, I got to look at the schedule, but I think over.
Yeah, I'll say over too.
2 coaches get let go this offseason. Now, I don't know if that's he specifies 2 Giants coaches get let go this offseason.
I'm going to say under.
I will also say under. Let's see here.
That's like a half the staff.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, maybe like position coaches. I don't know. I mean, there's always turnover there, but I would say of like, I don't even know. Whatever. Shermer's staying. Betcher's staying. I don't see Shula moving on because he's on the Gettleman scholarship. So I'll say under.
Yeah, I'm going to say under too.
And the last one, the Cowboys win 1 playoff game down the stretch, over under.
Wow. I'm going to say over.
I think, will too. I think that defense is good enough to shut down Seattle's rushing attack if that is their first round matchup.
Yeah, most likely that's going to be their first round matchup. But I'm with you, man. I think the defense, and we talked about this in week 2. We were like, everyone's sleeping on the Cowboy front 7. Remember that? Like, mm-hmm. Everyone was like, oh, that's an easy win for the Giants. Yep. And I was like, listen, man, they got a lot of talent on that front 7.
Yep.
And the Seahawks offensive line, while improved, you know, it's still vulnerable. And that Dallas pass rush, I don't know, man. But then again, you know, I could see Seattle get on a run here. Like, they could potentially make a run to the NFC Championship game.
I could see it.
Because, like, if you look at the top, like, right now, the top 6 teams in the NFC, right? You got New Orleans, you got the Rams, you got Chicago, Dallas, Seattle, and then let's say Minnesota's the 6th one in, right?
Sure.
I mean, how would you rank those teams based on their starting quarterback? It's
New Orleans,
then Seattle.
Yeah,
right.
True.
And you know, so you just don't know. So, and that's the same thing with the AFC. Like I could see, you know, if the Colts win, I could see them potentially get on a run.
Oh, I tweeted out today. I legitimately think that they could end up in the Super Bowl.
Don't they remind you of the 07 Giants a little bit?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, to me, their defense is just playing. I mean, disregard what you saw last week because they were obviously sleepwalking against the Giants. Their defense is wildly underrated. Their offensive line is very, very good, and you got a healthy Andrew Luck. They're one more offensive weapon away from being a legitimately dangerous team next year, I would say. The fact that they're hot right now and they have all the previously 3 mentioned things, I think that they could legitimately make a run. I really do.
The reason, I mean, I watch them and I say, okay, this is a team that, you know, has figured out how to protect the quarterback. And they have a very good offensive line. and they can run the football. They got a running back by committee. And to me, Andrew Luck, he's so great that he can dominate through the air without having a dominant receiver. Like, T.Y. Hilton is good, but he's not like, we don't put him in that elite class.
Right.
So, but I could see him getting, you know, throwing for 350 yards and sort of, you know, winning games on the road. And so, I mean, you see Kansas City's defense. Would it shock you if Andrew Luck rolls in there with this playoff experience and knocks off the Chiefs in a shootout?
Wouldn't shock
Absolutely
me.
Not, right? So, man, I think Indianapolis could go on a run. But in terms of this, this question was about the Cowboys. I think they win a playoff game, but I wouldn't sleep on Seattle.
Yeah, me neither.
I wouldn't sleep on Seattle.
Aiden asked about Kyler Murray and actually hit the same point I did about Gettleman not going near him. Adam asked about Kyler Murray. Let's see.
I'm telling you, Kyler Murray is going to be talked about a lot if he declares for Giant fans, for Jaguar fans, for Dolphin fans, Redskins fans, any other team that thinks that their team could draft a quarterback. And this is the type of quarterback where teams that already have a starting quarterback but is getting up there in age, they could potentially look to get Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. Like, this is an intriguing prospect.
Totally agree.
I'm interested to see what happens with him.
Let's do – this one's from Andrew. I mean, I don't see this happening because of how he's played without Odell, but if we can get an absolute minimum, a second-round pick for Sterling Shepard, would you trade him? If not, what would it take for you to trade him? I would trade him for a second.
I wouldn't trade him for a second-round pick.
I would. Given the fact that they don't have a third this year, I think I would do it.
So wait, I'm sorry. Sterling Shepard has 1 year left on his deal, right?
Maybe two, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, let's see. He's got – came into the league 2016, 2017, 2018. Yeah, next year will be the final year of his deal. Right. Second-round pick. Second-round picks don't get that fifth-year option. Yeah, actually, for a second-round pick,
I would depending take him. On
where it is, I could do it. Yeah. I think you have to consider it. But you have to have a replacement there.
Agree. Yeah. Because this offense would be absolutely – I don't know if I could even watch it if Odell gets hurt and they don't have Sterling Shepard. So you got to have some sort of backup plan. All right, let's do this one. Let's end on this. And let's not try to spend too much time on it because I feel like we do it every episode anyway. This is from Rashab. I want to ask why you guys are so critical of the new regime and sometimes have zero patience for the rebuild. This team was a shit show last year and things are finally starting to get better.
What rebuild is he talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I think we just re-listen to the first 15 minutes of the podcast for your answer.
Yeah. What rebuild?
Dave Gettleman has shown very, very little reason for us to have faith. I'll say
Go back to that part of the episode where I was basically breaking down the timeline of what Dave Gettleman said versus what he did.
Yeah.
Versus what he's doing. I got a question for you. If you're ready.
Yeah.
Who wins the Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Ooh. Tough.
I think Baker Mayfield wins it.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
It's tough to argue with a quarterback.
They were 0-16 last year.
Yeah.
They were 1-4? Or they were 0-3 or 0-4 before he came in the game.
Yeah, and then and all the Hugh nonsense.
Think about it. They're one. If a kicker makes a field goal against either the Saints or the Steelers, Sunday's game against the Ravens is for the division.
That's true. They could be in the playoffs.
So I think Baker Mayfield is the rookie of the year.
Love it.
Also doesn't help that Saquon had two sub 100-yard games.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I'm a Baker stan, so I would take that. Sure.
I think Baker wins the rookie of the year.
I'll take it. That's it. That's it for me. Any last thoughts? For me.
I have no other thoughts.
No other thoughts. All right. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily, the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. We're everywhere. Make sure you leave us a 5-star rating. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.